rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Nothing funny at all? You don't get anything funny?
Nothing spidoical.
Nothing spidoical? Okay, folks, wow, we're loud today. Turn down that monitor. Turn down the headphone monitor. Thank you. And then let's bring this up a little bit. Okay, bring up the headphone monitor a little bit. We've been gone from the studio. We're going to do some fine-tuning that we can only do on the air. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We are full-fledged again. We're back in the church's facility with their gigantic soundboard. Our soundboard just doesn't work anymore. And we're going to be here until we get that new soundboard. Anyway, I'll get into it later. But you're listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. It is the 30th. Of August. How many days does August have? Like 70? August is dragging on. The 30th of August, 2010, it is about 5:03 and a half p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to this on one of the new outlets, we got some exciting news. We got picked up by another network on top of Liberty Tree Radio and the Scotty 38 network, which... I hear a phone ringing.
Yeah. No.
Phone ring. Are you doing that?
No.
I don't even have a phone with me. I left it over there. Yeah, I don't even have my phone. Anyway, boy, I'm distracted today. We had a busy day, a good day, a lot of jovial talking and jocularities, as they say. Just feeling good, had a good weekend. I hope you guys had a good weekend. We had a good training. Small turnout at church. Everybody's getting their last vacations in, trying to work, you know, this next week into it. And we will be taking a vacation next week. We probably won't have a Friday show this week because of the three-day weekend. We're going to drive up to, I don't want to tell you where I'm going, but I'm going to be driving up to where my daughter lives with her birth mother, location X, because she's been telling me that the church she goes to has got a lesbian preacher, so I need to go check this out. As much as a 9 or 10-year-old can tell you what a lesbian is, you know, the way she's describing her. But I just want to go up and check out the church, see what kind of teachings are going on there, and raise a stink if I have to. So there probably won't be a show Friday unless we can find Wi-Fi. We're going to take everything with us, just like we do when we go down. It'll just be me on the headphone with the microphone. No mix, because we don't have a portable mixing board anymore. And we'll go up, and then maybe we may do a special Saturday show or something. But Monday, the holiday, we'll try to find some Wi-Fi and do a Monday show. So we're just letting you know ahead of time. This Friday, I've got doctor's appointments for my eyeballs. So I'll be at the VA all day, but we're going to try and make it back for a show on Wednesday. But for those of you that are local, we're not going to have our usual... America's Providential History teachings on Wednesdays for the next couple weeks. Instead, we're just going to show some videos because we're getting ready for the conference. We have to prep the property. We have to get everything going. We need to put a new roof on the church. It's insane. The stuff that's going to be happening in these next 35 days before the conference are just going to be astounding. If you're local, still come on Wednesdays. We're going to probably show some stuff from the Langoliers. What is it? What is it? It's what's the guy's name? I always say he looks like Columbo.
R.C. Sproul.
Yeah, R.C. Sproul. We're going to be showing some videos from them. So I probably won't be there that Wednesday night, but we'll do our best to do a show Wednesday from somewhere. Maybe we'll do a show Wednesday from Sanger or something. It'll work. And then we can do video, too. We can't do video right now, can we?
No.
No, you're not set up for video? Okay. But we did the show Friday. We had the video. I had a lot of good comments. Let's get back to that. Let me see. In fact, see if I can get in the... I'm going to try to get back into the chat room. Okay. Olimo, hello. And two, just a guestie. That's kind of weird. Bible study group, we're reading a lot about faith. Okay, good. The show on Friday, I mentioned... I don't even think it was that much of a focus, but I said you can't be a pagan and a Christian. and it really upset some people. And funny, it was funny, it's over my head on the video. If you go back and review it, there's a what I call a nightmare net, Native American nightmare net. Now that was in Stacy's room. She threw it up there. Here goes the cop. Same time. He likes to go by, what is it, 506. Cop goes by the window. Hello. Probably wants to make sure I'm broadcasting. He's actually a deputy sheriff, not a cop. But people said, how can you say that when you got a nightmare net on the window? I don't even think Stacy knew what that was. She just thought it was like a Native American thing, but that was funny. And I have pointed out before that I've got this pagan symbol behind me. And people got mad at that, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not here to hurt feelings. I'm just here to tell the truth. You can, if you want to do the pagan stuff, that's fine. I'm not going to, you know, that's between you and God. But you can't call yourself a Christian and do pagan stuff. It's clearly in the Bible. It says you can't have your foot in both camps. So, you know, I've told people that, you know, you worship any way you want to. But if you're in a transitionary mode and you're starting to explore Christianity, yeah. But once you, consider yourself bathed in the blood of Christ, you cannot do the pagan stuff. Clearly done. Anybody who does in the Old Testament gets killed. Anybody in the New Testament gets ostracized, you know. So it's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I'm not the one making up the rules. But if it helps you to be mad at me, you know, that's fine. But I'm not going to stop saying what I'm saying. I'm not here. I'm not worried about chasing off listeners, obviously. I'm not worried about chasing off people from the church. I tell the truth as I see it, and if I make a mistake, but on some things, they're so clear and so obvious, I can't back down from them. I'm not going to back down from a lot of issues. I got a lot of emails. People were mad that I didn't talk about Glenn Beck. Well, to me, Glenn Beck is he's a rodeo clown. He may be doing some good, but he's still a rodeo clown.
He has did a comedy tour. So
he's done a comedy tour, so he is, you know.
I have a video.
You have the video of his comedy tour,
yeah,
Lynn?
It's like an hour and 30 minutes.
That's cool.
Doing stand-up.
What, did you tell jokes about Pop-Tarts or something?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, you watched it, but you don't know?
I never watched it.
Oh, you didn't watch it. But it's just a distraction. I don't care if he had 90,000 or 900,000. It doesn't really matter. The whole Tea Party movement is a distraction. It's just they're putting out sugar water to get the so-called conservatives all irritated, and then when they sweep the elections in November, they'll say, okay, everything's fine, go back to bed. So I'm not going to sit here and talk about it. Especially, I don't really care about other announcers. People say, well, Alex Jones this, Alex, you know, that. I may talk about Nicholas over at First Amendment Radio, only because, don't yawn at me. Ah, now I'm going to get sleepy. Because he's been attacking us again, both verbally and I believe cyber-wise. You guys, if you go down below, if you're listening on UBroadcast right now, and you go below, there's a little link there to go to his chat room. He blocked me from his chat room. Go to his chat room and let him know what a weasel he is. Yeah, it's wwfar.com/farm/chat/. Just go in there and let him know that you don't appreciate what they're doing. But it's funny, I look at their listener, how many people are listening, there's nobody. It's the same three people. Of course, as I look right now, there's only three or four of us in here now. But I know we're being picked up by other outlets, we're being spread around, the pod people are doing their part, downloading and spreading. I can't wait for the pod people report from Olima for the month of August. I'm really looking forward to it. I just have this, at night when I'm laying in bed, I just feel like people are downloading me.
It hurts.
I can feel it. It kind of tickles, but in a hurtful, tickly way. I can tell people are downloading the show. There needs to be a nightmare.net. We should see if there's a website, nightmare.net, and we'll sell Indian paraphernalia on there. I see what Olima wrote in there. The nightmare nets, the nightmare catchers that they have up. They call them dream catchers. I just mock them. I have nothing against Native American cultures. In fact, I just watched a great documentary this weekend. Not a documentary, a movie on Geronimo and his surrender, and it was pretty good. And if you study them, you got to respect some of the things they did. You got to look at them and go, what were they thinking on others? They're not noble savages. They're conquered people. But it's just an example of what the government will do to clear a space, and a lot can be learned from them. But so I'm not mocking, Native American cultures. I think their religions are flawed, and they're going to go to hell if they continue to worship them.
There is a nightmare.net.
There is a nightmare.net?
Yeah.
Is it going to picture me up?
No.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a Disney Xbox game.
Disney Xbox
nightmare
game?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Nightmare.net. We spent the weekend, as you know, at a place that had cable and internet access and all that, and so I watched a lot of TV this weekend. Well, I read the emails, people either bagging or praising me. It's still about a 75-5 rate. No, that's like a weird. Let's say about a 75% of you like what I'm doing. 25%, I don't know why you listen, unless you're just there hoping that you're going to change me, which you're not. But that's okay. That's fine, too. But I watched Pitchman, which was a great show. All these inventions that people were bringing up and ways that individual people coming up with some simple little idea that they make millions of dollars. And it was, it really got me motivated. So Lou and I sat around for the last 72 hours, and we came up with one. And we're gonna, we've got an invention, and it's gonna be, it's our invention. We're gonna announce it here on the radio. It's called Jack Sack. And what it is, it's a Kevlar bag with a hardened top to it that you stick under your car when you have a flat tire and need to lift it up to put on jack stands, and you stick it over your exhaust pipe, and then you just let the engine run. You rev it in neutral, and it'll raise the car off. I've actually seen other types of devices used to move a lot of stuff, so why not use the... because your engine is a great air compressor. So that's the from Dutchy. What did we come up with? Dutchco?
Dutchco
Productions. We'll be, you know, we're working on it. It's going to be the Jack Sack, and you're going to be able to lift your car up. Hey, Gunslinger 6 made it back in. I guess he... is he in the room? Yeah, he's in the room. So thanks for that. There must be a huge delay. I'm getting comments way delayed. I see Stacy's in there. She got the pizza pans, and on the last break, she's going to start the pizza. So you guys put in your orders. She's got
Spadoinkle.
She's got a... what has she got? She's got a... two tombstones for $5 at the local store, which is like the cheapest. They must be 100 years old.
Vegetables.
So we've got sausage and pepperoni, and pepperoni for you guys if you want to come in. So I don't, you know, holy mom, start driving. People are tuning in now. This is kind of weird. Starting to drop in. I'm getting comments through the Facebook. We're getting everything tuning in. Speaking of tuning in, I can't... I had like two or three of you folks come to me and tell me that I need to check out the Watchman .biz, Watchman.biz. Don't go there now. Watchman.biz, that they're a Patriot radio station. When I've tuned in, I tuned in a few times. I did listen. It was all talking about guns and stuff, which is great. You know, your usual 308 versus 5.56. I haven't heard any of the political stuff yet. That's just because I don't have the bandwidth. But I talked to Doc over there, and they're going to carry this show. It's not going to be live because there's already somebody in this time slot, but over at Watchman.biz, you can hear the Dutch Jones show. So today's show will probably play tomorrow. They didn't have one today. Hopefully they didn't play the one from Friday. It was terrible. But they'll play this on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. 11 a.m. Pacific time over there at Watchman. So it'll enlarge our audience. Now, I don't know much about their other hosts. I don't know if they're pro-Tea Party types. I don't know if they're G. Gordon Liddy clones. I have no idea. Point of it is that the militant Christian word will get out on another outlet. And we'll have Liberty Tree Radio. We'll have Scotty 38 sending it out. We have a couple other places that are telling me that they're rebroadcasting on an off-again basis because it's a manual setup. Not everybody's a big automated web feed like Liberty Tree Radio or now the Watchman. So what I want you folks to do, and because you guys got the bandwidth, I want you to, when you get a chance, just listen to the Watchman, listen to their hosts, and tell me what they're doing. I want to make sure I'm not on some like white nationalist network. Now you're probably saying, well, you should have done this before you allowed them to take it. I allow anybody to take the feed. I allow anybody to take the feed. Now, if you know, I find out that I'm right after Tom Metzger, that's fine. That's fine. I don't care. I'm going to talk to skinheads. I'm going to talk to Nazis. I'm going to talk to crossdressers. I'm going to talk to anybody who wants to hear the message because they all deserve salvation. And if the Lord is going to use this show to chip away at some hardened stone, that's great. That's awesome. I got criticized because I pop up in some pretty weird places, this feed, and they're like, did you know that you're on like this white supremacist site? Okay, that's fine. That's cool. I'll talk to anybody, prostitutes, tax collectors, because you know what? My boss did.
It's thewatchman.biz.
Thewatchman.biz,
thewatchman.biz. Watchman.biz is that movie comic book thing.
Oh, it's a comic book thing? Okay, so make sure you put that in there, Lou. So I just briefly emailed him. I was supposed to call him, and I forgot to today. And I apologize if you're listening, Doc. Our phones are intermittent up here, and we can't really call out long distance. You got to call us. The phone number to call in, 559-561-8225. I'm going to say that without my hand on my face. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And the email, and you guys seem to like doing that. If you contact me through email, it's dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. That's dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. And again, we are on Facebook. That is the best way to reach me. I'd say a large majority of our listeners are through Facebook. I don't get to MySpace enough. I apologize, those of you that are listening on MySpace, but it's just... I forgot about it. It's just not doing that much. I got on Twitter. We're on Twitter. I like saying it like that because Twitter sounds so okay.
Yeah.
We're on Twitter, Dutch Jones Show on Twitter. I got to get in there and check in. I don't even know how to use Twitter. I don't know what it is. But again, I have four or five people saying, you've got to use Twitter. You got to use Twitter.
Their symbol is gay, too.
Their symbol's gay? It's a bird?
Blue bird.
It's a blue bird? I don't even know that. Like, so you know more about Twitter than I do. I don't know. Do you Twitter? I mean, I don't understand if it, Facebook works fine for us. I really like Facebook, Lou, because it's great to outreach. I can, like right now, I just put up a message, hey, tune in, and people start tuning in. I can see the direct, instant, immediate response. Let's see. Gunslinger 6 saying he's having trouble listening due to dealings with the PD and sheriff. No kidding. We'll have to find out what that is. Don't mention anything online. We've got so many moles listening to this show. Red Pill's in there. Thank you, Red Pill, for tuning in. And again, guest 4921, which is probably Nicholas, the people that just left the church because they wouldn't kick me off. You know, there's all kinds of stuff here. Actually, I have people that come to the pastor and say, we don't want to go to church anymore because you let Dutch in here and he's a big meanie. Yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about it on the air. The pastor asked me not to, but it does make me mad, and I have to share it with you because this is my daily, therapy, my audio blog with you folks. Thanks, Red Pill. Glad you're here. This Sunday we began our first level of CERT training, Community Emergency Response Training. Okay, Stacy's all. We started out just an intro class. I wanted to teach some people some basic search and rescue stuff, and we're going to get into it heavily. Unfortunately, the turnout's small, but then again, this is time of year everybody takes vacation, so we may hit it again. So keep listening here. If you want to get involved in this training and want to come up for the weekend, I think we're going to dedicate one weekend a month where we're going to do this training, search and rescue, triage, medical operations. Some of the classes are not very exciting, like psychology, preparation for, you know, what you're going to see, you know, disaster operations and the psychological impact it has on rescuers. If we could get some outside people to come up here, we could pull off some pretty amazing stuff. If you've listened to this show, if you've one of the many people that have come from 2, 3, even what I think the farthest somebody came was, how far is Palm Springs for a training? That's got to be 350, 400 miles. I could be wrong. It might even be farther. Come on back. We have the facilities where you can sleep overnight if you don't want to sleep out on the ground with us. I mean, maybe in the winter it'll get, you know, rainy and cold, but that's good training too. But we have a couple trailers that are open. You know, we could put 3 or 4 families in there. You guys could all sleep on the floor. You have a shower, a place to cook. If we're not doing outdoor training, you know, where you're going to have to rough it with MREs. But for this type of search and rescue training, there goes Dave. It would be really good if we could get some more outside people involved in this, just so we could pull off some larger operational training things. I need people to bloody up, you know, fake injuries, break out the rubber cement and the moulage, and, you know, so it looks like you're pierced on rebar. Lou, you look like you have an epiphany. You got something you got to say?
No.
Oh, you're yawning again. Stop yawning, Lou. Lou the yawner. Be listening here. We're going to continue to do our regular Sunday afternoon trainings, too. That are, of course, open to the public. We're not going to invite outsiders anymore to our martial trainings. Not because of any, you know, we think you're FBI or anything like that. We could care less because we're doing legal stuff. Just safety. If we don't know you, we're having too much trouble with people that come to this church that claim to be one thing and they're not. People that say that they've got all this training and then they get out there and they almost shoot everybody in the head. You know, just ridiculous stuff. And it's not our job to train the general public in that kind of stuff. You know, so we're looking for people that have got a little more advanced training. But the regular survival training, the disaster preparedness training is always open to the public. And you just come on up here. And starting next Sunday, we're going to have our pitch-in dinners again. So what you would do when one of these is announced, you come up on a Sunday, come up on a Saturday, spend the night in one of our houses here, and then come to church with us on Sunday. Have a meal with us, and then we'll do our trainings. The next class, we're not doing one in... No, we are doing one in September. We're not doing one in October. September will be covering concealment under tactical operations. It's not what you think. I'm not going to teach you guys to be snipers. What it'll be is just how to hide your stuff, how to sneak around, how to blend in. Lou's sneaking in. Lou's hiding behind his computer right now. I wish we had the video on. That looked really weird. You're ducking behind your computer like I can't see you. So it's going to be how to hide in plain sight, how to get through, you know, in a post-collapse society. If you guys have read Patriots, how to get from Pueblo, Colorado to Idaho.
Wear purple.
Yeah, don't wear purple, Lou. Lou's really big on this purple thing. He just saw the movie The Shadow.
Phantom.
Excuse me. Was it The Phantom?
Yeah.
I thought it was a shadow. Phantom. And the superhero wore this, like, purple latex jumpsuit. He's a ghost who walks. And Lou wants to be him now. I keep telling him. They did a survey in Iraq and Afghanistan of all the camouflage they had, and everything worked except for purple. So don't. No, Lou. No more purple. Okay? Are you over that?
I never seen the movie.
If you're not going to play along with the bits, Lou, you get to stand in the corner. We watched a review of it, is what we did, and it was pretty funny. But, so that's what the next class is going to be, the third Sunday in September, and I think the third Saturday we're going to do some type of training, too. We may pin some dummies under some concrete blocks and show people how to use leverage and cribbing and get those things up. I need to work on that. I need to work with my assistant instructors to get some things together. This is picking up. This is snowballing, folks. And I only think that this sense of importance is because the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is working in our hearts here at the church. We're really getting excited about preparing the minds, hearts, and bodies of our people here. And you should be doing the same. You should be working on these things. And we're going to talk, and we're in free form again today, just because there's some articles. We had a tragedy happened here nearby yesterday at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon in Visalia. In one of three of the Mormon churches, a madman walked in, said, "Who's in charge here?" A guy who was a bishop, who's a father of six and recently born child, says, "I'm in charge here. My name is Bishop so-and-so. Can I help you?" Maniac pulls out a gun, murdered him right there in front of people in the church, and then walked out, drove down the road, got on his cell phone, told the cops where he was, and then went out in a blaze of glory. This is going to start happening more and more. I get people say, "Well, I don't care it happened at a Mormon church." Just shut up with that garbage. I don't care if it happened at a Buddhist temple. A maniac who kills and walks into a house of worship. There's so many possibilities here. I don't know. My pet theory is that he's a sodomite and he's angry about the Mormon support of Proposition 8 here in California. It may be somebody who's mad at Glenn Beck because he happens to be a Mormon. What are you laughing about? Walking on thin ice with Lewis. But we've got to realize that if it can happen in a Mormon church, it can happen in our churches. It can happen anywhere. And you got to be. Now, our church is very, very prepared. But how do you prepare for some maniac just coming in and just saying, "Hey, can I speak to so-and-so?" "Yeah, shoot." Well, unless the subject that he's seeking out has got a higher level of awareness, you know, has been trained in disarmament and stuff, you know, you can't really protect your pastors. Those of you that have been dedicated as sheepdogs in your churches or in your groups or whatever you're doing, it's weird. Now maybe this guy was angry with Glenn Beck. Maybe this guy was mad at the world. Maybe he was MK Ultra. Maybe he was a converted Mormon that just had a personal grudge against the Mormon church. I don't know. But it was weird because at the same time, I was teaching our survival class, but in our church service, at about 10:15, this guy rolls up on a bicycle, perches himself right outside a big window so he can see and hear what's going on in the church. And I asked him to come in, and he didn't want to come in. He proceeded to pour water all over himself. He obviously was overheated from riding a bike up this road. He unfolded a chair and sat there, but every once in a while he'd get up and walk around. So the pastor gave me the sign, kept an eye on him. Pastor even verbally said from the pulpit, "This guy's kind of, you know, giving me the willies. Why is he walking around in the back there?" So I went outside and we asked him to sat down. And he stayed outside until, you know, this was going on. And the whole time I'm thinking, this guy could be an active shooter. I thought I had never seen him before, but it turns out he was one of the regular wackos from the local area. And we have to extend love to the wackos, too, like I said earlier in the half hour. But immediately, once we identified a hinky kind of thing going on, several of us that were armed put ourselves in positions where we could protect the congregation. We kept our eyes on him. After it was over, we went out and met him, asked what was going on. Turns out I had chased him off the property about a year and a half ago, I guess it was. If Stacy can remember better than my memory. About a year and a half ago, he came out of the church, started ringing our church bell, because the church is rung from the outside. It's an old-style church. And I ran down there, because usually if somebody's ringing the bell in the middle of the day, it means something's wrong, fire, you know, something along those lines. So I ran down there, and we go in and talk to him, and it turns out he's just a guy that's a little mentally ill, a little off his rocker, and he's riding a bike across the country. So he gives me a cell phone, dials his sister, and I talk to his sister, and this guy, she says, "Oh, he's harmless except to himself." But, and so we invited him in, we let him eat. He actually went through the class with us. Guy knew the Bible. He was great. He knew the Bible. But we just kept a guard up. And what I'm telling you this for is because you don't have to put bars on your churches. You don't have to have everybody, you know, strip search to come in. But we dealt with it. And the same time we're dealing with this guy, just a couple hours later, a bishop, and I don't know, maybe Minuteman can tell me, I don't know, is a bishop like a pastor or an alderman? I don't know what the ranking is. But a bishop who was just responding to somebody saying, hey, I need to see who's in charge, gets murdered. I mean, 30 miles away this happens. 30 miles away. And you'll see, there'll be a couple more. There's always copycats. And I guarantee if this guy was a left-wing wacko, a left-wing sodomite that was mad about Prop 8, they're not going to let us know it. They're not going to let us know it. But what's interesting, so we have a member who comes to our church every other weekend. He goes between two churches. Church he's strong in, and then the church that he's learning from us, the militant view. So we find out that he was on the same street. Hello, Debbie. So we called him and said, what's going on? And he goes, I don't know. And I said, what have you heard? And I said, well, according to Yahoo News, somebody just walked in there and shot a bishop at the church across the street from your house. He goes, well, that explains all the SWAT teams and everything going on. A bishop is the same as a pastor. Thank you, Minuteman. So you got people shooting pastors in Mormon churches. You know, and it's gonna start up again. People are angry at the Christian so-called right. The Tea Party movement is agitating the wackos. It's agitating, and I think that's part of the distraction that they're supposed to do. They want to inflame the angry sodomites, the lefties, the anarchists, you know, all these people that are mad at everything that the Tea Party is supposedly representing, which, you know, if you've been listening to me, you know, I don't think they represent much. They're very shallow. So if you're attending a church, you need to approach your pastor, your elders if you've got them, and tell them that, hey, this is a very real threat. We need to look into this. So what I can tell you is that we already deal with this threat. At our conference, we're going to have security. We're going to have guys like Minuteman and El Doctor there. We're going to work out some drills. We're going to be ready for some throwdowns, some swarms, some removals if we have to. I pray the Lord will protect us and it won't happen, but it's going to happen. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I come back. Maybe find out what other movies Lou's watching that he wants to assimilate. I can't believe you did that to me, Lou. You're all talking about how great it was, and now you're bagging on me for bringing it up. So, folks, we'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on a mellow, cool, the weather, the temperature's great here now. Monday afternoon and dog days of August, summer. We'll be back after the break.
They watched them day and night. They knew very soon they'd get their chance to stand and fight. Yes, they knew that the British would be moving any hour. So they arranged a signal in the North End Church Tower. Paul was watching when the tower showed a light, and he started on his midnight ride. He jumped on his horse, hooves started humming. He screamed out his warning, redcoats are coming. Better get your guns and your fighting riches on. They're coming and they're 800 strong. Next morning at Concord and Lexington town, the spirit of freedom turned the redcoats around. When we praise the men who made this mighty nation we have here, then let's remember Paul Revere. Yes, let's remember Paul Revere. I guarantee you something, and I want to tell you all, that we never would have been here if it hadn't have been for Paul. Yes, sir, I surely doubt us ever being here if it hadn't have been for that man on that horse named Mr. Revere.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bullets. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio
program.
And now for something completely different.
I didn't clear my throat. Hang on. There, I cleared my throat. I had to turn the mic down. I need to Yoo-hoo again. Your levels are too low on that, Lou. I can't hear it. Give me, count to three. Go 1, 2, 3, Lou.
1, 2, 3, Lou.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, Lou, that's good. We're still working out the soundboard here. We had everything disconnected. We had to bring it back. Stacy's computer died. We got it back here Saturday and turned it on, and the screen looks like X-ray, like a negative. It's just, I don't know. I know there's bulbs in the bottom of the screens, but it's just we are under physical attack here. Physical, personal, cyber attack, folks. I can't even tell you half the stuff because I don't want to give the villains feedback to know whether or not they're effective or not. But, I mean, and we know, we have a good idea who it is. It's an old nemesis of this show. He just hasn't gotten over me leaving his network, and that's all I'm going to say. Well, actually, I'll probably say more. But there's links below that you can go give him a piece of your mind to. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We try not to dwell on vengeance, but sometimes you just have to slap somebody when they're being stupid. We come to Yoo live Monday through. Here goes the sheriff, and he's going by all slow now. Is he waving? Mm-hmm. He's got a passenger, and they're checking us out. Huh. He must be showing off like a Citizens Patrol or something, or ride along. He drove by real slow that time. But we come to Yoo live Monday through Friday. I'm reading stuff in the chat room. Sorry, guys. I'm like a single track. Usually I can multitask. I can't today. I think it's because I'm thinking of the Tombstone Pizza. Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. We can also be heard on thewatchman.biz from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But that is not the live show. It's a replay. It'll be the next day. I can't do live shows all day. We've got so much work to do up here to get this building ready for people to come and sleep in and stuff for the conference. And I'd love to do 2 live shows a day. Trust me, I could do it. Just because there's just so much information out there, even if I'm just reading from the Bible. I mean, I could do a whole show where I just sit and read from the Bible and give you a Dutch commentary. But we're trying to get Mom to post the eBay website. I hit the wrong button. Okay, so we've got to get that up there for people to order. Someone donated $44. Stacy, could you tell me who that was? It was somebody that we'd never heard from before. It was a new donor, and they donated $44. I don't know why 44, but that's great. That's $44 closer to the $350 that we need in another 2 weeks. The reason we added it up, usually it's about $250. We want to get that soundboard for an extra $100 so we can carry it with us. It's really good, and we want to do it. Oh, we were talking about computer stuff. Those of you that watch the Friday show live, you know that in the last half hour we had Ed Kornke on. He was picture in picture. He was a co-host of the show. We were talking about cyber issues and computer issues, but on the U Broadcast side of it, it didn't record his voice or his video. Don't know why, but it didn't. So you're freaking out where I'm sitting there for like, you know, 20 seconds just staring at the wall. It's because Ed Kornke was talking, and the way we had it was like a split screen.
Maybe he has to hit record.
I don't know. It just didn't record it. But fortunately and luckily, we have the great work of Olima, and she recorded all the audio because I checked on the archives. And we were able to... My screen is going out. Are you using the broken computers? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Stacy's on the X-ray computer right now. I forgot, because this is the computer she was going to use. So it's hard for her to use the computer, so she can't get it up there. But it's just weird stuff going on. I don't know if it's user error. We're very fortunate that Lou is here. Lou gets us on the air almost every time. We tried hitting it with a hammer, kicking it.
Hitting it.
We're having all kinds of weird problems, so we need your prayers too. But we need this extra soundboard. I wish we could have had it before we were leaving at the end of the week. You know, I don't know if they're actually in stock at Sears, but they sell them at Sears. But if we could get this soundboard, we can do far more remote stuff. We want to get the soundboard, and we want to get the Wi-Fi Anywhere card. I don't know how much it is per month, but we would be able to go. Next time there's a Tea Party rally here, you guys that keep saying me, I'm not fair. I've already been to two. Yeah, we went to two, right? A little one and a big one. And we need to be able to do some more live remote stuff. If, you know, I want to get out there in the streets. I'd love to do some man-on-the-street interviews, have like a harness for Lou to carry the computer around. We're on wireless internet, Wi-Fi, AT&T internet, and we could be like at a bus stop talking to homeless people. We could walk into courthouses and stuff and interview people, you know, over land use issues. I don't know. I think it would really enhance the show. But we need that soundboard, folks. We definitely need that soundboard. Getting back to this church shooting, the Mormon church, we can't let this stuff go unanswered. We need to respond to it. You need to get yourself trained. Don't just go buy a gun. Don't get a nice shoulder holster and stand at the back of the church. You need to train yourself. You don't need to train yourself. You need to get training from people who know what they're doing. Front sight, all kinds of stuff. Hey, Flora Dave, welcome, welcome, welcome. I assume most of the people listening to this show go to church just from the emails I'm getting. But if you're a home church, same thing. What if it's a home takeover robbery? Different motivation. You know, it may just be anger seeking money, you know, a drug addiction. What are you going to do? How are you going to plan? Do you have a disaster plan? Sure. Most people have disaster plans. You know, tornadoes come, we do this. At the very least, you have that. You're going to get in this root cellar and wait it out. And you have some canned foods down there. But how many of you have a violent crime plan? You get your backpack by the back door. They come in the front door. Are you going to have enough time to get out? Is that your plan? It's not a bad plan. Flight is always good. Do you have your family trained for a word, a sound that goes off that they don't just wander in on you wrestling with a guy? Is your family all on board at a certain age? I mean, there's a certain age where, you know, you just train the kids if you hear something bad, get under the bed or get out the back door and go to the neighbor's house. Do you have a plan for what happens when your door gets kicked in? Doesn't matter if it's the New World Order, the Chinese, or a crack addict who's just looking to get a few dollars in jewelry off you if you're lucky, and then move on. Or a sexual predator. Is your family trained to know what to do when a dedicated killer comes in, a modern-day vampire? You've got to have a plan for this, folks. I've talked about churches a lot. I think I've flogged the dead horse on that one. But your own house. Start in your own house first. Do you have a security system? I'm not talking about an alarm. Do you lock your doors or do you leave them wide open? Do you have good locks that can't be, you know, defeated? Have you reinforced your doors so that they, you know, can't kick them in? Something as simple as this, folks. Let's say you got children. I don't allow my children to answer the door. My daughter gets in the bad habit of coming from her mom's house and doing that. I've been a private investigator and been canvassing a neighborhood, and you have 3-year-olds answering the door. What's up with that? It should be the man of the house. Get off your butt, put down your beer, do the, where do you know the stuff you can pause on digital TV?
DVR or TiVo.
TiVo. Pause your football game on the TiVo and protect your family. Do you even know how to answer a door? Do you put your eye up to the peephole? Peephole scare the Twinkies out of me. I don't want to put my eye up to something that they know I'm going to be putting my eye up to. You have an alternate way to see what's going on out there. Is, you know, let's say your door is secure, you got a peephole in it. How many idiots put their eye up to the peephole? They make these devices so people can look in and see your whole room through the peephole. They see you're coming, they shoot through the door. Do you have a system in place for who answers the door? Do you have a system in place for when you guys are, let's say you're doing mommy and daddy time and the phone rings, or your kids go, oh no, they're not here right now, and they hang up. Have you trained your family to be a secure family and deal with people gathering intel on you? Are your windows approachable from the outside, or did you plant the nastiest, stickiest plants you can possibly imagine? My dad used to put cactus under all the, my sister's windows because we had so many peeping toms. He didn't put them under my window, though. I don't know. Maybe he didn't care that much about me. But my sisters had cactus planted under their windows because we kept having the neighborhood boys when they were teenagers looking in the windows. Nothing stops a moron faster than cactus. Doesn't matter if they're wearing shoes. They'll get in their legs. Shrubs, things like that. Do you have locks on your windows? Do your kids know how to operate those to get in and out? Now you're saying, well, they're teenagers. They're going to sneak out. Have you taught your kids to flee danger while you're fighting in the living room? Or like with Lou, Lou's going to get involved. He's had enough hand-to-hand training. He just clicked open his knife to threaten me when I said that. That was a nice, hearty sound fast. Click. That was fast. That's a $3 knife. And actually, it was free.
In like half a second.
Yeah, half a second. Do the wives know about crossfire? Do the kids know to get down so you have great lines of sight in the house if you have to use a firearm? Where are your firearms? Do you keep all your are you a good American? Are you a good law-abiding Christian and all your guns are the bolts removed? They're in a safe, you know, a four-digit safe or a digital safe, and then your ammo's in another safe? So meanwhile, you're like, what is it? What is it? Boop, 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 and your family's getting hit with a pitchfork? Actually happened here in America, here in California. I went to go get his daughter said, if we'd have had the guns loaded and accessible, I could have saved my family. But yet several of the siblings were butchered by an escaped loony. I'll tell you what I got by my front door on the inside. I got choices. I got choices. And I don't care. I will risk giving up my security so you people think. I got a machete, a shovel, multiple rifles within reach. And I go everywhere with a pistol on anyway until I go to bed and then it gets set on the nightstand next to me.
You slip the pillow under your gun.
When people knock on your door, are you like, go ahead, come on in, it's unlocked? Or do you go, okay, let's see what it is. Let's see who it is. Is it the Girl Scout selling cookies? Is it Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Advent? Well, I don't know, Seventh-day Adventists go door to door. Jehovah's Witnesses and who else comes around? I don't know, there's somebody else that comes around. Okay, oh, the Mormon dudes. Is the Mormon guys coming over to, you know, try and get you to go to their place of worship? Or is this some psycho guy who's just, you know, he says he's handing out flyers for remodeling, or is he casing your house? Do you have a procedure for that? Hey, hello. Boy, you look beat. You been working?
Yeah.
I thought I heard the backhoe today. Was the tractor working?
Oh, you're going to hear it right now.
Uh-oh. Is he going to come through the front door?
Yeah.
Backhoe coming through the front door? You've got to have plans in place. You've got to have reactions set. You need to know what your family's going to do. Let's forget about a church shooting. What about a shooting in your house? Is your wife going to run around going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God? Or have you trained her to do what's right? Grab the kids and run. Can you secure your front door if you don't want it to? Have you got bookcases, things you can put in front of it? Have you feng shuied your house for safety, or have you feng shuied your house to look good? I mean, I love people who get these big front doors that are all glass. Why not? Why even have a door? Do you leave your garage door open all day? Do you have really big shrubs right next to your garage door? Your daughter, your wife coming home, they hit the garage door, and a guy sneaks in. They're coming home at 10 o'clock at night after class or late night at work. Or have you cleared it away so they have a great line of sight? Do you have proper lighting in your garage? So when your loved ones are getting out of the car because you're out on a bowling league night, there's not somebody hiding in the garage. How good of a steward are you being for your family? How good of a protector are you being as a Christian soldier for your family? Sure, you went out and you bought some rifles, you subscribed to American Handgunner, may have even taken a class or two, but have you applied it to your daily life? No. I can say that right now. Most of you haven't. Most of you are still in condition white. Maybe yellow. We here are always in orange. When I go to sleep, I think I'm still in yellow because it's one eye open kind of thing.
I walk around with $100 bills hanging out of my pockets.
Oh, you're baiting people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got $100 bills hanging out of my pockets. There you go. What, I mean, are you, when you're driving, when you stop at a light, are you getting as close as you can to that car in front of you? Hey, I'm ready to go. Or are you leaving a space so you can pull out when some idiot puts a gun to your head? Does your family know what to do when you may get carjacked? I am sick and tired of manly men of action. And I meet them all the time. Oh, yeah, I did this, I did that. But meanwhile, they're telling me all the guns they own. I'm standing in their living room and I can see like all these problems. And then when you bring it up to them, no, we're fine. We're fine. It's a duty as the head of your family that you have to do. And those of you that are single women, you just have 10 commandments, folks. Thou shalt not commit murder. You have a duty to preserve life. If you're not trying to preserve your own life, you're violating the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you picking up what I'm putting down, America? My Dutch Jones listening audience, the new listeners on Watchmen, welcome Watchmen listeners. I'm going to keep doing that. I've got to get used to it now that I'm on a separate network too. We're just going to keep growing, folks, all because of you guys. This happened because listeners went out and told other radio networks about us. We didn't do it. I got emails from another radio network said, hey, we've heard you, we like you, we think you should be on our network. I'm not making any money from it, unless those new listeners want to buy stuff or make donations. That would be great, too. Make sure I give out the website on the next break, because people that are listening on Watchmen now, I haven't even given out the website. They're listening in a whole new way that we won't even know how to count them. It's a Patriot, the studio audience member just asked, what's Watchmen? It's a Patriot Broadcasting Network. It's pretty big. They got 24 hours a day, different hosts.
Internet,
and on FM, too. They're on FM. So I don't know where this voice is going now, but they're going to play the next day. Like we do Corky, I'm going to air tomorrow at 11 a.m. on their network. Or 11 a.m. our time, 11 to 1 p.m. So it's a great opportunity. So hopefully we'll reach some folks. And if I'm preaching to the choir, no, I'm not. There's still more you can do. You can do more. You can do way more. You can make your house a hardened target. You can make your car a hardened target. And by the way, they still sell in California the 12-gauge flare pistols at Walmart. They're now $38 instead of $28. They come with three or four flares. Excellent self-defense device.
Hot phosphorus
shot into the face of a carjacker. Plus, it gets everybody's attention. So $38, they were $39 plus whatever tag.
Are they illegal to carry in your car?
I don't believe so. They're a signaling device,
yeah.
And they're not considered a firearm, not a destructive device. But listen to me, they're bright orange, and you cannot fire a 12-gauge shell in there. You can fire those shells in a 12-gauge. You would have to do some modification, and Uncle Dutchie's not going to tell you how to do that on the air.
Yeah.
Insert. pipe. But you can do some modification with a Dremel and make it fire a 12-gauge shell, and you get a 12-gauge pistol. But the flare's enough, guys. You should have one hanging by your front door. Some guy, you know, you got the little chain thing, you got your foot in the door, you're doing everything right. You know, someone goes, yeah, I'm here collecting for the United Negro Fund. It's like 2 in the morning. We're not interested in donating. One, I wouldn't even open the door. Okay. He's looking around, you see he's got three buddies behind him. You take that flare pistol and fire a flare pistol with that crack in the door. They're running.
That thing's a change, man.
You do it.
Obama got in office.
Yeah, we have to let black people in our houses at 2 in the morning because Obama's a president. Saw a bumper sticker on a commercial vehicle today, a huge bumper sticker, like 12 by 12, that said, bend over, here comes Obama. And it was like on a heating and cooling. I'm like, wow, that guy's really risking it, you know, putting it out there. He's probably going to get pulled over by the cops and harassed and everything. But good to see a bumper sticker like that. Yeah, things have changed. But don't open. I've had it happen. San Bernardino, Castle Park Apartments, second place I lived in California. 2 in the morning, three black guys. It doesn't matter if they're black. You got to get my point here. But it was San Bernardino. They were black. Save your, you know, your racist comments for later. I'm telling you facts. 2 in the morning, they're like, hey man, my sister's in here. I'm looking for my sister. They're coming to pick her up. Said she was here. Three black guys, long, you know, ubu coats, you know, what do they call them? For us, by us, or whatever. And FUBU. They were FUBU. Yeah, not ubu.
There's a joke.
Yeah, FUBU, yeah. And I went to the door with a .44 Magnum. And it's funny, I said something kind of mean. They said, my sister's in there. We came to pick her up. Said to pick her up. And there had been some home takeover. Well, there's always home takeover robberies going on in San Bernardino. It's the north side. And I just said, well, if your sister's in here, she's probably ironing my Klan costume. And they just, what? And I said, there's nobody here. And I showed them the .44 and they left. They went across the street, same three guys. I ID'd them later and did a home takeover robbery. Now, I should have probably shot them or maybe held them there, but, you know, hindsight, 20/20 kind of thing. They're going to do it. On my street, this idiot goes to a gun shop. He's buying stuff, and he's standing there bragging. I know this for a fact. This is first-hand investigation on my part. Goes to a gun shop, Turner's Guns, Turner Sporting Goods, in San Bernardino again, a couple miles from where I live. He's my neighbor. Big biker dude, you know, thought he knew he could take care of himself. While he's in there going, yeah, I got four AK-47s, I got six SKSs, I got all this stuff. We know another guy like this. He's bragging about everything. Yeah, I need to get this, I need to get some ammo, I'm looking for slings. Well, there's four Mexican gangbangers. They follow him home onto the street I lived on in Grand Terrace, California. The way I found out about this is I hear the gunfight. Well, what they did is they waited out back behind his house. They were trying to figure out how to go in. Well, his wife gave him the in. She'd go out back and smoke a cigarette before she went to bed at like 10 o'clock. She's out there smoking a cigarette, and they hit her with a frying pan. Knock her out, drag her in, duct tape her. They get one of his own guns, wake him up, duct tape him. He's butt naked. It makes for imagery later. And they're stealing guns, and he's like yelling at him and everything. It's these guys that he was talking to in the gun shop at Turner's. Well, what happens is they start to rape his wife. They figure they're gonna they cross that line. They go from scumbag to needs to be shot. So he's a big dude. He breaks the duct tape. He gets a hold of a gun he had hidden under his bed, and a shootout starts in his house, and they start down the street. Naked guy wrapped in duct tape chasing four Mexicans because their buddy was waiting down the street, shooting it out in my front yard, basically. You know, and all because he had a big mouth. They shut down the whole street. He lost half of his guns. The police misplaced them, even though, because they were involved in it. They took his guns. He was the righteous guy. He was hurt. He lost half of his guns because they took him as evidence and he never got them back. We have to have this mindset where we protect our family first. Check your ego at the door. I have had idiots, and I'm going to say that now because I don't like these people anymore. They're not brothers or sisters, and I'm sorry. People get mad at me when I tell the truth. The day they met me, they gave me a list of every weapon they owned. The first time I went to their house, it was like a gun show. Why would you do that? I've got guns that my son doesn't even know I own. He's all looking at me, what? That you have to have security. You have to have a plan. You have to walk and not talk. You know, you can't be bragging to everybody what you got because you don't know who hears it. I mean, even if you're just telling your buddies, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your family comes first. Protect your family. Don't set yourself up as a target. If you are strong, act weak. Sun Tzu, right here next to me. If you're weak, act strong, but not ridiculously strong. You know? You break into my house, you're going to get crossfire from three different people. That's me acting strong and putting a warning out there. I actually had a listener who started stalking me 2 years ago. And said that he was driving by and he saw me and he was sending me emails. I got on the air, called him on it. I said, look, next time I see you, I'm going to shoot you. Not acting bold, stating a fact. You've creeped out my family. Stop coming by. He stopped listening. He stopped coming by. You have to be a man for your family. You have to be wise. You have to take threats seriously. Somebody walks into your church and says, hi, I'm here to see the pastor. Why are you here? What is your business? Okay. Does the pastor know you're coming? Get at least two people to watch him. Watch his hands. Watch his feet. They will tell you what he's going to do. I mean, a guy comes in with an AK-47 like happened in Colorado Springs, then you just react tactically. But this way, you still have to be civilly and you have to act like a Christian. This guy, and I told you yesterday, I and the other sergeant at arms, we kept an eye on him. We made contact with him. He didn't talk to the pastor without us being present. Once we defused and realized he wasn't wearing a gun, we didn't walk up and search him. You have a plan. The guy gets the ushers put him in the back where he can be watched.
We didn't search him, but we sure did eyeball him good.
Yeah, we saw every time he put stuff.
Yeah.
Just look for bulges on his person.
Yeah.
Now, California law is if you're security, in-house security, you have the right to search anyone or they can refuse you and leave the property. You have the right to search anyone for weapons, not for drugs or anything else. You can search anyone for weapons if you're in-house security. And what is in-house security? Pastor goes, DJ, grab two guys and go check them out. That's what you do. You use your verbal skills to check them out when they come into the church. You have to have this in a plan already. There has to be two free-floating people in your church that can sit with them. The minute he looks like he's going for something, you raise the threat level and you do what you got to do. Observation is everything in this, but preparation is even bigger than observation. I don't even know where that came from, Stacy. I don't know what that... They want to take all of our guns. But our,
we're so versed, we don't even converse. We can look at each other.
Yeah, we just...
We've gone over it so many times.
If you don't train with each other, you're not going to get it. You've got to know the body language of your buddy. You've got to know the body language of people coming in. I get a nod from the man sitting here. I don't want to use your name on the air, but I get a nod from this guy. I know what's going to happen. We had a situation last week. I know what you're thinking. Boy, your church's got a lot of situations. Every church better be like this. We had a drunkard come in who was going after an ex-girlfriend or whatever the deal was, and he's yelling at this girl, and we're just like, you're leaving. Nobody comes in here drunk. Then he started to blaspheme. You don't blaspheme, you don't use foul language. He took a swing at our sergeant-at-arms. Big mistake. Gets taken outside, put in his vehicle, and told to leave. And if he comes back, then he gets hurt. But we knew that's how it was going to go. That wasn't a surprise. It wasn't, okay, if this guy causes this problem, this is what we do. You've got to work this out for your family, your house, a day at the mall. What do you do when you walk in a mall? Do your kids just kind of run around like, you know, what was it, restless hobo? Or what was it? What was the hobo thing that they called their kids? A bunch of maniac hobos or something?
Retarded gangbangers.
Retarded gangbangers. You let your kids run around like a bunch of retarded gangbangers, or you keep them under control where you can rescue them? My daughter's got to be at my arm's length. My son's going to be at my back. My wife's going to be to my right. Unless the threat's to the left, then I move over. If we see a bunch of gangbangers approaching, I put myself first. I make a physical body statement that you don't want us. We're not victims. You look them hard in the eye, you put your hand in your pocket where you can get to your knife, and you just stare at them as they go by. Now, some people say, well, that's like a baboon. You're going to get them crazy. Well, they're going to get cut. Period. I don't take a gun everywhere. I take a knife sometimes. How are you going to react as a Christian soldier, as a protector of your family? I am sick and tired of paper tigers. I am sick and tired of guys that are in the top shape of their life. They go to the gym all the time. They bought a gun. They read they listen to radio shows. They read the best stuff, but they haven't once tried to test themselves. Okay, folks, we got the break coming up here. When we come back, remember DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk for our new people listening on the delayed replay. DutchJones.tk, check it out. We'll be back after the break. I see Ed's in there. We'll be back with Liberty Tree Radio.
The talking heads, the daily press, they cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous by calling me extremist because I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skiddies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's because of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Because they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is or they. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I just want to get the job done. Common man, he's so confused. He wants to know the truth, but all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he's sure to be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the
fuck's sake can I choose? And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinheads who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist, and I just want to have fun. Cha cha cha.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for that.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Lou's looking for the funny thing he was going to play. I don't know, Lou. What is it, Lou? We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back, and we're now on Liberty Tree Radio. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. LibertyTreeRadio.4MG.com. Check it out if you're listening on the U-Broadcast. Check it out if you're listening on the new TheWatchman.biz stream. Yes, we've added another stream. No, we're not leaving Liberty Tree Radio, but we have always said anybody wants to pick up this stream, do it. And some listeners promoted the show to these folks over there. I don't know anything about them. The only times I've listened, they've been talking about guns, which is okay by me. So Ed's in the chat room. Ed, if you know, I asked him about them on Friday. He hadn't heard of them, but as long as I haven't heard anything negative, as long as they're not like National Socialist baby rapers, we'll continue to allow them to play the show. And that's the same thing with anybody. You guys want to use the show? You want to download it from the archives that Only My Providers provides and replay it on your FM feed, whatever? Just do it in its entirety. Please, just do it in its entirety. Don't edit it. Don't take my stuff out of context. I get that enough. It's bad enough now as it is with Nicholas doing it from that other bizarre network over there. But you're more than welcome to. So welcome, Ed, to the show. It's another outlet that's always, yeah, it's doing a good thing. Ed, it was weird. Remember how the last half hour we had you picture in picture and doing the show? You broadcast didn't record it, so the replay of the video, it just had me standing there nodding while you're talking. I look like a complete idiot. It didn't record your input to the show when you jumped into co-host. So we got to remember that. We need to find out if Ustream, if we can do it on Ustream, because maybe it's time to switch to Ustream, get a little more versatility out of it. It's cheaper, it's free, and all that stuff. So maybe we'll work on that. We're not going to be here Wednesday probably, so be ready for a replay Wednesday. I do have to go to the doctors. We don't know how long it's going to take. They're going to be doing some weird tests on my eye. And then Friday, we're going to be on the road, folks. I'm just letting my Liberty Tree Radio fans, all thousands of you, we're going to be on the road for the 3-day weekend going to visit my daughter, who just called on the phone. If you're listening, I love you, Anthea. We'll be able to go up there and visit her. I want to check out her church. I heard she's got a sodomite pastor. It's a lesbian pastor. I need to go and stand up in the middle of the church and yell something. If your mom's listening, Anthea, she has just
churches, huh?
Yeah, it's a Presbyterian church. I think I just probably, because I'm sure her mom's listening right now, she's probably not going to my church. So we got to make sure. So Anthea, thank you. I'll call you after the show. We're looking forward to being on the road, having a little mini vacation, the family tie that's always good to do.
praise the Lord that our car doesn't break. We got one decent car right now. The starter's going out, but I can deal with that. Give me a screwdriver and I can get it started. So just be praying for us for Traveling Mercies for Friday. We will try to do the show Friday. If I can find a place up there with Wi-Fi, we'll do the show. Another plug here, I need your donations. We need $350 this month because I need a new soundboard. This one's cutting out, plus it's not mobile. If I can get that $100 soundboard mobile, that will do it. Somebody's already donated $44. And we thank you. Did you find out who the donation was from for that? So we appreciate that. Welcome. Boy, we got a bunch more people here. We got Smiley from South SC. I assume that's South Carolina. Florida Dave's in there. Ed, welcome everyone. Of course, the usual Scotty38, who rebroadcasts us on Citizens Band Radio, Channel 2 in upstate New York by the Finger Lakes. I assume that's upstate. I did this last time. I forget what you guys tell me, and I apologize. But it's nice to know we're getting spread out. We've got somebody who replays us in New Zealand. We actually got a person from New Zealand. This is what I found out. We got somebody who said, hey, do you ship to New Zealand? And we're like, it'll cost more than the gas mask costs, you know, to ship it. But we got people, they're rebroadcasting us on something down there. Shortwave, I believe it is. I've got reports back that we're being transmitted on shortwave in Europe. And shortwave, and the reason I know, it's low power shortwave, so it's not like worldwide, you know, what's the big one? WWCR is not carrying us. At first I was like, wow, that'd be cool if WWCR was picking us up. I think I'm a little edgy for Worldwide Christian Radio, though. They do carry a lot of stuff, though. And I think they used to carry Mark Kornke, the intelligence report. Okay, so it is a rebroadcaster of Liberty Tree Radio, so that's where they're hearing me. Cool! So we are going out on shortwave, so that's excellent. So all of my peoples out there or that are listening to the Christian Militant Worldview coming to you from the fine little hamlet of Kaweah. We're in the belly button of California, coming to you from the Church of Kaweah. I have to remind you folks, the views that I express here are not the views of the Church of Kaweah. Although the pastor usually gives me a big thumbs up, sometimes I make him cringe. But you got to realize that. Sometimes, you know, I do go too far for what the church believes, but it's what I believe.
Sometimes you make us all cringe.
Sometimes I make everybody cringe. But just know that. And what we're doing is we're bringing you the militant Christian worldview because I think that the militia movement needs to hear it. There's too much paranoia in the militia movement. We were talking about this earlier with friends here at church. And it's like there's more paranoia and there is in like rogue groups of, you know, terrorists and white supremacists and stuff. There's way too much paranoia going on. So I figure if we get God-centered, that'll help take some of that out. And I'm going to share this. And it's going to make the guy who told me mad, but I got to share this. I had a guy tell me that he doesn't want me listening to the intelligence report because he thinks that it's an FBI-controlled, at the point of a gun, outlet of disinformation. Now, you know, I think I sent some email to you, Ed, asking you about it, but you guys are so busy, I understand. I've actually had people tell me that. Don't listen to the intelligence report. Ever since he went to prison and got out, the FBI is right there with him. I go, that's weird, because I was talking to Ed on video, and I could see his whole studio, and he was just sitting there, and I think he was drinking a beer. I'm not even sure if that's what it was, but maybe an energy drink. Maybe I'm wrong. See, that's where I talk too much. And there's no FBI guy in the studio. And so I've got the paranoia is overwhelming. And I can tell you this because I used to be one of those paranoid guys. I was afraid to join any group without doing like 1,000 years of research behind them. And when I was involved with Ranch Rescue back before, now they're doing some stuff. And people give me all this, call me, oh man, I heard this and that. Okay, fine. The Lord's going to protect us. What we're doing is righteous. If they're FBI, fine. I'm not going to sweat it. One, I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything unbiblical. I'm not doing anything immoral. They're going to persecute us on unjust laws anyway.
Tell them about me.
So I'm not going to be, I don't know, do you want me to tell them about you? They'll get you one way or another. You can have, you're talking about where you're going?
I got pulled over.
You can have a firearm in a backpack in the back of the car, and they're going to go nuts. They're going to lie to you. They're going to pull you over for speeding. I'm sharing a personal experience here with a member of the studio audience. They're going to lie to you and say, hey, they're going to let you go. And then the next thing you know, there's going to be a rolling roadblock. They're going to pull you over with multiple support. and they're going to say, you have an FBI warrant, you're a person of interest. And they're not going to ask you for consent, and they're going to tear your car apart, and they're going to find your gun in the back, and they're going to go, why do you have this gun? Well, I was working in Arizona on the border, it's dangerous, I need a gun. They're going to get you for whatever they want. They're going to try and squeeze you. The FBI is going to come in and say...
And there was no warrant.
And then the warrant disappears. And then the FBI goes, we never did that. The radio call never went out. There was no need to pull this man over. But yet they found the gun. And the gun's legally purchased. And then you're going to get calls from people and they're going to say like, well, this could all go away. If. Well, that doesn't work on our group. I don't know how much more you want me to tell them, but it doesn't work on our group. We'll do the time rather than give you false information or assist the enemy in making stuff up. There's nothing to tell here. We're not doing anything illegal. We are training as a militia, which is still legal here. Oh, the donation we got was from Heather in Ohio. Heather, thank you if you're listening to the Pod People replay. Thank you for that $44. We're going to use it to buy that soundboard. So we just need, we need all the other expenses, but we're going to apply that to the soundboard and stuff. So we need $66 more for the soundboard. So why be paranoid? Do our business, be alert, keep your level at orange, your code of awareness at orange, and stop worrying about what every other group is doing and just make your group do what it's got to do. And the only way I found a way to, the answer for me was Christ. You know, I could give some testimonies here, but it is Monday, and I like to keep it grounded in the Lord on Mondays. We talked about the church shooting. We can talk a little bit more about that from the Mormon. I don't know, what do you call them? What's a Mormon church called? A temple? Help me out, Minuteman. I don't know what Mormon churches are called. I went to a Mormon church for like 2 Sundays of my whole life when I was a kid. That's it. Got invited by some friends. I don't know anything about them other than what I find out from people who yell at me for making fun of Mormons. You know, I can't let the underwear thing go. But you know, I'll make fun of. I'm an equal. It is a church, okay? I'm an equal opportunity offender. You know, I had a boss that was a Mormon and he wore that one piece underwear. Temple is the temple, okay? So the temple's in there. Yeah, Smiley saying Christ does not give us the spirit of fear. I did not know that. See, I'm surprised. See, I didn't even know Ed was a Mormon. I forgot where I was going with that. I'm so surprised by that. I didn't know. But I have a lot of Mormon listeners. When I was a CERT instructor, I had a lot of Mormon students. So, and I forgot where I was going with this. But we can't live in fear. That's where I was talking about. And that's, I see the unchristian militias. And when I go to their meetings, what do they sit around and talk about? The sky is falling. It's going to happen tomorrow. And they spend an inordinate amount of time on that. Now, there is some wisdom in being forward-looking and looking for clues and hints and things. And I saw it a little bit when I first came to this group. And I'm not knocking the church at Kauai, but they were kind of it goes in cycles, and they were on a downward cycle when I got here. Now we're on an upward cycle. Not because of me, because of the Lord's timing. That sounded terrible, but that's not how I meant it to sound. But they would sit around, rather than talking about training, what they needed to do, and they would sit around and just talk about how terrible it was under Clinton, how bad it was under Bush, and instead of doing things. That fear is a tool of the enemy. They want us to be fearful. Well, our studio audience just left. They want us to not act out of fear. Well, that's why I believe that we must be Christian militias. You know, you've got entire states that I've reached out for, and my headphones are going nuts. And there's been, I wasn't able to find Christian militias that at least advertised. Now maybe there's some wisdom in not advertising, you know. And if, what did they do to Hatari? And I needed to reach into that to see where that, or check into that to see where it's been. I've been negligent in that. I get a lot of emails about it, but I always tell people to go to LTR for that, because they have more. Me, everything I have is just what I get from LTR. They sent out a serious message when they went after Hutari to tell Christians, get back in your churches. You know who else did that? Hitler. Get back in your churches. We were ready here, Ed, that if we had some Hutari widows, their men were going away to prison. Our pastor here was saying, we got empty houses. You know, they want to go into some kind of refugee status. We've got homes here for them, so our church was standing ready to do that.
because we'll stand by our Christian brothers and sisters. But then I had other guys, oh, you can't support Hitachi because they supported Israel and you're not support. I go, yeah, I know that. But I remember the night I sent an email, I think it was to either Ed or to Mark himself, and I got back, they attack one militia, they attack all militias. My attitude, I would only expand that, they attack one Christian militia, they attack all Christian militias. So we can't live in fear, folks. We've got to keep doing what we're doing regardless of what the enemy is doing. Yeah, I'd like to have contact with him, Ed. I would love to reach out to him and let him know that there's a resource here for him. You know, they just need to get away for a couple days and they want to be entertained. And they don't have a whole lot of money like the rest of us. They can't afford, you know, going to a resort up here. They could stay here in one of our... We have three empty homes right now. Because bachelor's moving on and family's moving on and getting their own places. Where we could put people up. And they need to come out for a week, go to the emergency... relief park. Go up to the park and just unwind a little bit. Look at the sequoias. Go fishing. The opportunity's here, folks. For people like that. I told you, my job is to recruit here. My job is to recruit. We got individuals walking on the property that I've never seen before, Lou. I see a child, a woman. You know what it is? I think somebody's taking pictures. Who is that? I don't know who those folks are. They're taking pictures of the turkeys. We have basically a menagerie here of a zoo. Deer, turkeys, quail, everything. The wild pig has stayed away. Okay, here we go. Now I can see the guy. That's not the pastor. The pastor does not wear golf shorts. The guy's smoking. Just keep an eye on him. He's smoking. This is probably tourists. Yeah, just keep an eye on him. Make sure they don't like to face the cemetery or anything. It looks like a young couple. Sorry, folks, but security comes first here. We've had a lot of threats in the last few weeks made against our property and our cause up here just by idiots, not the New World Order or anything like that. Just people in the community that we take a strong stand against and their lifestyles and what they do. We let them know. It's like earlier I said, I've offended some people by saying you can't be a pagan and be a Christian. I'm not going to lie or soften the blow just so people will listen to me. We're not going to, in our community, soften our message just so our neighbors can be content with their lifestyle. They found the park. We got a park here, and we invite people in to use the park. But anyway, my job here is recruiter. We're looking for good Christian family folks that are militia-oriented. Come and do a courtship with us. Check out the church. Best time to do it is the conference. Who am I? The conference. Where's our conference flyers? Oh, right here. Is this a good one or is this an old one? Let's see. October 2nd and 3rd, 2010, we're going to have the Old Paths Conference. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. We're going to be going against the spirit of fear. Because we see it every day in our relationships up here with other militias. They are scared. They're afraid to come up here and joint train with us because everybody knows who we are. Been here since 1965. Right around in there. The church is almost as old as I am. And this conference is going to be 250 to 280 people here. We've already got about 80 reservations. And that doesn't mean people, that's families. It's really family oriented. It's going to be a lot of good sermons. We're going to have Pastor Chuck Baldwin here. We're going to have Missionary Peter Hammond. Pastor John Weaver for you Confederate folks like myself. Pastor John Weaver, he was chaplain of the League of the South for a while. We're going to be talking about secession. We're going to be talking about what we need to do as communities, because the states are just as bad as the federal union. How we can prepare ourselves to rebuild after this whole thing falls apart. We're going to be talking that the overall theme is going to be the real threat of Islam. Not the manufactured threat, but the real threat. The convert or die attitude that these Islamists have and that our government is helping them perpetuate because they need them to be the sword in their hand against us Christians. We're going to have Pastor Warren M. Campbell, of course. I've heard that Luke Campbell is going to be speaking to his son. But we're going to be doing that. There's going to be shooting demonstrations. And if you stick around, I will make myself available as well. I'm sure a couple other of the instructors here, and we will give you personal or group training in firearms on our shooting range. Bring your RV. There is a $50 fee. You've got to get that in. If you go to thechurch@kawea.org, where I say at, you have to spell at. I'm going to give it again slower. thechurchatkawea.org. thechurch@kawea.org. Remember, you spell out A-T. And if you go to the bottom of the page, there's a thing there for the flyer. Is that right, Lou? Thank you, Lou.
No, it's...
Where is it at?
The thing says Old Paths Christian History
Conference. You can print up the application, fill it out, and mail it in with your $50. The reason we do the $50, they didn't do it for a while, but people were making reservations and not showing up, and then we were turning people away. This way, we can only seat 220 in the main chapel, and then we'll put the extra in the backup chapel with a big screen TV and audio in there, and you'll be able to, they're just checking out the cemetery. You'll be able to hear and see everything, plus there'll be a book room. We're going to be selling some military surplus to support this ministry. We may have another military surplus guy there selling some stuff. There'll be books and tapes and stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else on the Christian militant attitude. It's a way of life, folks. We don't just turn this radio off and then I go back to my 9-to-5 job. This is not just a radio show. This is a ministry. I wish I could go to other countries and do this, but my King, Jesus Christ, has asked me to do it here. I'd love to be over in some country training villagers to fight communists or Muslims, like Chuck Baldwin is, but...
No, Peter Hammond.
Peter Hammond, excuse me. Yeah, Chuck Baldwin's in Florida training people to fight. Florida is like a foreign country. Thank you, Lou. That's why I keep you here. You're a good producer.
There.
Huh?
More Jews.
There's more Jews in Florida than there is in Israel. So, what's the word of the day?
Spadoikel.
We don't know if that's Yiddish, but we're thinking about having a different Yiddish word of the week. Spadoikel means good. So Lou's been using it all day. We heard it in a movie last night. So Old Paths Christian Conference, check us out. You can call if you're interested. Let me give you a phone number here. If you know you want to call and talk to the pastor, you think I don't trust Dutch. You know, I want to make sure this is real. We had a guy last year, like 3 days before the conference. He goes on the internet everywhere saying that, oh, it's just going to be a roundup. It's the feds. Don't trust them. We've been doing this. This is our 15th year. Do you think there's going to be a roundup? We've had Bogreitz. We've had the guy from Mom. I can't think of his name right now. Yeah, Militia Montana. We've had some of the Trockman. We've had some of the biggest names here. We wanted to get Mark Kornke. It would be great to have Mark Kornke here. And we're going to shoot for that next year, Ed. I'm not going to give up. Love to have you and your family come out here. You know, I know that you guys run the network out of there, and I know it'd be tough probably to get everybody here. But I can think of nothing better than having Ed Kornke get up and speak at one of our conferences, and then to be able to go out and train on the range with you guys. It would be awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome possum, you said? Yeah, we do have possum here, too. Okay, here comes the phone number, guys. This is to talk to our pastor. I'm going to give you two numbers, and they're area code 559-561-4210. Area code 559-561-4210. Or if you want to reach him at his house, and he's told me that this is okay. Well, maybe we could have you come by train, Ed. We could pay for your... Because we pay for our speaker's transportation. That's why we have to charge you $50. We got a guy coming in from South Africa. Okay, the next number for the pastor's home is 559-561-0802. 559-561-0802. If you call during the day, you're going to get his mom or his wife. But just tell him you want to talk to Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. His email, if you want to contact him by email, you might need directions. You can get a room up here in a hotel for about $80 a night. But you can come up here, you can camp in my front yard. If you can, you know, you can sleep on our floor. If you're a listener of Dutch Jones, besides we have so many, you know, it's our house is all secure. You know, we'll be able to make sure you're not trying to kill us, and we can release toxic gas if you attack us. But you can sleep on our floor, use our shower if you don't want to sleep outside. But it's beautiful out here in October. Oh, it's just incredible. But the email to contact our pastor is Lausdeo. Same thing that's at the top of the Washington Monument. Lausdeo. Lausdeo. Lausdeo at CWO.com. Lausdeo at CWO.com. Lausdeo at CWO.com. I'm doing pretty good with those addresses. Usually I butcher them. I'm doing Spadoikel with them. Spadoikel. We don't even know if that's Yiddish. That might be American slang.
It is.
We're not. It is American slang? Okay. Spadoikel's good. That's going to be the official slang term for good of the Dutch Jones radio program. We'd love to have more people out for the conference. If, and I know this, my pastor's going to kill me for saying this, standing room only, We'll open the windows, folks. I'll turn on the transmitter, and you can tune in your car and listen in your RV. But the key thing is you got to hear these speakers. What's going on, Lou?
Turkeys.
You have to be up here to fellowship with us, especially if you're in the Western United States. I know what you're saying. California's terrible. It's never... We're going to hold here as long as the Lord allows us to. This is a stronghold. It's a strategic position. I won't go into all the details, but geographically, economically, we have food, we have water. We are the hub for several people, 250 to 300 people that support our cause, that are pretty much like-minded. And that's another thing. If you're offended by multi-denominational, don't come. Because you're going to see Mormons, you're going to see Presbyterians, you're going to see Catholics, you're going to see because what we call ourselves is interdenominational, multi-denominational. We're not going to say we're Baptists. You're going to have some Christian identity folks show up. We tell them, you know, keep your Nazi stuff in your pocket and you can stay. We've had Klansmen show up. They don't stick around too much because we don't, you know, when they see a bunch of black folks and Asian folks and Mexican folks, they don't want anything to do with us. The core of the people that come in are free church homeschoolers. Free church homeschoolers. That's probably 150 of the folks that come in. They come from as far away as, I think we had South Carolina last year, Georgia, all along the coast. We had a woman, an older woman, drove down here from Washington by herself, not a well woman, and slept on a couch in the church. She had no money. She just money for gas. She was eating granola bars and tuna fish sandwiches, and people here provided for her. Friday night, we had a group. See, my headphones just kicked in again. Is this audio getting weird for you guys, too? Is it, like, boosting and dropping? My monitor just went nuts in my head. I don't know. See, it's in that. It's something in that. There's a short. We got to buy new ones. Whatever that thing is, we need new ones of those, too. But we'll have a taco or pizza night on Friday night and a movie. Saturday night is Civil War. I hate using the word Civil War, but War of Northern Aggression, period, dancing in uniform. Thank you, Ed. It's something in our back feed, just off the soundboard that's messing up. Thanks, Stacy. Thank you. But we'll have Civil War dance. There'll be a little class before it. It goes pretty late into the night. We take the parking lot. We put up big lights. We have a big campground where you can park everything. It's wonderful. The research center will be open for people to come in and read books. And there'll be a shower. In fact, we're going to fix the shower. We have hot water this year. We'll have enough hot water for probably 6 showers. So you got to get up early if you want a shower. I shouldn't be making promises with my home. Thank you, Olima. Like I said, we may be opening up our house. Okay, we got a half hour left of the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It's Monday. We're kind of discussing some weird stuff. Phone number is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. That's right, Ed. We'll have to shake the ants out of the board. We'll be back after the break. And remember to check out the website. We need your donations.
America is changing. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Sweating like Roger Ebert.
Actually, it's very cool in here. I don't know, it's probably about 70 degrees outside. This is beautiful weather. I'm motivated. I'm going to get some stuff done. The heat sucks the energy out of me. And I can't do anything. But spring, winter, and fall, I can do stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting a bunch of stuff done. We got to move a lot of the equipment out of this room and get it done in the next few days so we can get ready for people to come up. We were talking about the conference. We'll move on. We're going to get back to the topic du jour, which was the shooting in the Mormon church here in Visalia, California yesterday at 2 p.m. A maniac went in, asked who was in charge. A bishop, who I'm told by my Mormon friends is a pastor, came out and said, "Can I help you?" The unnamed maniac pulled a gun and killed him, drove out, drove to a separate location, called the police, said, "Come and get me," and then died in a hail of fire. So it's still happening, folks. We don't know why he did it. The media that I've been reading, unless I haven't had a chance to look at my email, I'm sorry, Minuteman, but if I go to the email, I may get pumped off. So far, there's been no reason behind it. I'm going to guess, go on a limb, that it was a sodomite who was mad about Prop 8. The Mormon church in California was extremely strong in helping defeat sodomite marriage, and now that it's even heated up more because it's going back and forth in the courts, it may be somebody who's mad at Glenn Beck, who's a Mormon. Who knows? It may be somebody who was a Mormon that got molested in the Mormon church. Who knows? I don't know. It sounds like it was random. He didn't ask for a specific name. He just went off and shot some individual, some random dude. We have to keep our level in orange now as Christians, as militia members. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. There's a whole website here in this county dedicated to the atheist anarchy site that talks about us all the time. In there amongst themselves. I infiltrated. I'm not going to give you out who I am, but I've told people, you know, that I go in there and I read it and ask them questions. I don't provoke anything. But they've talked about coming up here with pitchforks, burning us at the stake, you know, that kind of stuff. But then when they found out we had guns, they chickened out. Smiley from South Carolina says this maniac was probably on psychotropic drugs. He may be an MK Ultra type. He may be a Manchurian candidate. He may be somebody who was on psychotropic drugs, stopped and, you know, stopped taking them. You know, that's how it always ends up. I just praise the Lord he only shot one person. I mean, it's a tragedy that anybody got shot. But had that church had a military attitude, a martial attitude, let's not say military, a martial attitude, he might not have been able to kill the guy. Had our pastor, a strange individual comes up to our pastor, never seen our pastor's in, you know, he's in red. He doesn't know who this guy is. And before that man could have drawn his weapon, I guarantee you my pastor would have had two rounds center mass had he chosen to do that. I guarantee you, because he wouldn't have been alone with him, we would have been on him. We would have been on him. My pastor may have just decided to disarm the guy and sit on him. Who knows? You don't know until you're in that situation. I've been in a situation. I've taken weapons away. I've fired a weapon in anger more than once. But your churches, your institutions, your family, your home, you guys need to start getting ready, folks. I know people are going, I can't believe he's talking about this now. Not everybody's a sheepdog yet. There are a lot of new people that listen to this show, a lot of new people that listen to Liberty Tree Radio, because they're getting woken up every day. These people that are realizing the Tea Party's kind of a shallow pond of wisdom, and they want something a little deeper. They want to get into the river of thought. So they turn to Liberty Tree Radio, and they discover some maniac like me, or they find me through other ways. So we need to talk to those people, the people that aren't quite sheepdogs yet. You need to get a family plan. If your church refuses to do it, I wouldn't go to a church that wasn't trying to be safe. And there are a lot of Christian churches around here that do not like us, but yet they have an invader plan. They have a dedicated shooter plan, evacuation plan. The people in your church need to know what to do, because I guarantee you, 90% of the churches, if somebody starts shooting, the idiots are going to jump up and start running around and cause more of a problem. They're just going to create more targets. They'll probably get your sheepdogs killed. I've studied a lot of these cases where it's happened, and that's what goes on, the chaos. Overseas, where they're attacking Christian churches in Africa, they know that's what's going to happen, so they position people by the doors to shoot people as they come out. There's a very short fuse between what's going on overseas against Christian churches and what's happening here. The violence in Mexico. They're soft targets. Is your church ready? We've got a plan, but we need a better plan. Most churches have zero plan. Most churches won't even allow their ushers to be armed. Big churches, you're going to have a couple of public safety people in there. You should deputize them for your security in your church. If they're going to be there, get them to bring their weapons. But there's a reason the men sit on the outside of the pews historically. We do it here because it's a good tactical position. So we can protect our families. And our people are trained to drop to the ground. We tell them something goes on, drop to the ground, we'll take care of it. We had a drunk individual come in looking for a woman. That he was being aggressive for. He was out of the church in less than 15 seconds and out in the parking lot being dealt with. Because we had a plan. We know how to deal with these people. We have a plan for the conference. If protesters show up, we know what we're going to do. We've told the sheriff's department, this is what we're going to do. If we call you, it's to pick up people that are zip-tied out on the front of the lawn. If they're aggressive, send the coroner. We will not allow harm to come to our people. We will not allow harm to come to our people. And as Christian soldiers, we have to have that attitude in our family and of our person. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit murder. The opposite of that is, thou shalt not let murder to be committed. So allowing yourself through passivity and phony Christian turn-the-other-cheek attitude is only going to offend God. Personally, I'm sick of 80% of the churches in America. I have faith in about 2% of the churches, and the remaining, 18%? I have a slight hope for him. I've given up. You wouldn't believe the email I get. Oh, we have to turn the other cheek. We're here to be sacrificial lambs to the slaughter. All I write back is, please don't contact me again. Don't be around me. And if someone like that is around me, and I know they're like that, I'm going to say, here's your opportunity. Be my human shield. Yeah, I'd use a human shield. Person wants to die anyway, doesn't want to raise a finger to save their own life? Sure. I'll throw them on top of my family so that my family's protected while I have to take care of business. There's a balance to it, too. Do you want overt security? Do you want covert security? And whatever you come up with, you don't talk about it to your parish, other than the fact that your evacuation plans need to be trained. You don't share it with them. You don't tell anybody, because every church has got some big mouth that's going to go down to the coffee shop and go, oh, yeah, we're ready for this. Let some hippie with a Thompson come in there. Let somebody come in there with a machete. You know, we're going to be ready. This is what we're going to do. We had someone tell the local community that we had M1 Garands under every single seat in the church, in the pews. First off, I wish we did. Secondly, that's just stupid. You shouldn't be discussing anything like that. We had another moron who since died, and he was, I don't think he was punished for saying this. What am I hearing? I hear a kid yelling. Look outside. I heard a little kid yelling. Somebody probably yelling at the deer. Our neighbors are weird. They let their kids come out and yell at the deer. going around town telling everybody we had an armory buried up here full of everything we would ever need to stand off the Chinese military, which isn't true. And when confronted on it, he says, well, I thought that would put up a good front. I go, no, you're going to have drug addicts and drug dealers coming up here to steal our guns now. You've got to have good security, and you've got to have people you trust. You only need three or four people to pull this off, folks. Three or four people that are armed, depending on the size of your church. I mean, if you go to some mega church, yeah. Our church is small. Your homes are going to be the same way. You have to have a plan, and you have to stick to it, and you have to practice it. Whatever the trigger is, a whistle, a squelch going over the PA, you know, a beep going over the radios, if your ushers carry radios, they have to know exactly how to react when this happens. I mean, this person walked on the church property after services, went up to somebody and said, hey, who's in charge here? Okay, you know, take me through your leader. You should be asking them a series of questions. Are they expecting you? What is your business? Go ahead and sit here. We'll bring somebody to you. And you assign somebody to watch them. Anybody new comes into our church, I don't care if it's a family or it's a disheveled homeless guy looking for a meal. There are two men on that person until his needs are met, the service is over, or till we, using body language and investigative abilities, figure out whether or not they're a threat. Then they're never not a threat, but okay, come on in, sit down, here's some food, here's some clothes, be on your way. Because we are a church. I mean, we don't want to fortify our doors, and you know, we'll never have an outreach if we didn't trust everybody. But this, it's got to go back into what I was talking about, paranoia, in the first half hour of the second hour. The third half hour. We can't be so paranoid that we don't allow newbies to come to our church. But we have to make sure that every new person is a threat. Every random individual coming on a Saturday just to check out your church is a threat. You approach them with strong body language. You have a backup. You make sure they know, you know, that you know they're there. You make good eye contact. Can I help you? Oh, I'm just here to check out your cemetery. Okay, great. Do you have somebody buried there? And can I help you find one of the graves? You got to have a procedure. You have to have an attitude for this. You can't just... The days of Mayberry RFD are over. Maybe we can restore that one day when we cleanse our nation of all these scumbags. But you have to have a militant attitude now everywhere you go. And some people say, well, that's a terrible way to live. That's a horrible stress. Well, it's better than being shot or being taken hostage, isn't it? How would you feel if you didn't train your family? You're supposedly a Christian man, a Christian soldier for Christ. Christian, so I'm redundant in that, but you're a Christian warrior. You're a freedom warrior. What's it say? Somebody just checked in there. Welcome. I can't read it all on mine. You call yourself a warrior, you better be a warrior. You better have a warrior attitude. I don't care if you have the greatest tactical vest, the best rifle that you can shoot from a bench in the world. Cool, the pizza's cooking, Lou. We have to get real about this, people. Those that are already real, I know you're going, oh man, I can't believe this guy's saying this. I've been real since 1982. I've been real since I was a kid, and I helped my father with his criminal activities. I kept my eyes open. I was a good little lookout, even at age 6, for armed robberies and things like that. I'm telling you the truth here. My testimony is on my sleeve. I used the skills that I learned growing up as a criminal with my family. You know, thank the Lord I was saved at age 32 in there. But I can still apply those skills. The Lord can use evil for good. Your family has to be cunning. You have to be able to get your family trained to the point when there's a knock at the door, you're out the back door before they're kicking it in. Nothing bothers me worse than you see a family when a father tells them to do something and you get a bunch of guff back. What? I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. One of the things I admire about Lou, I tell him to do something, he's in the process of doing it. I don't get an eye roll. I don't get... Minuteman is going to call. No! What? How do you know that? Are you psychic? Minuteman's going to call in. That's fine. Welcome. Call. Let me make sure it's hung up. Phone's off the hook. Freedom Warrior Oz. So it must be from Australia, maybe? We're listening in Australia. Welcome. I haven't seen your moniker in here before, your name, so that's good. So, good. But, yeah, if you want to call in and talk about this, but you have to have this warrior mindset now more than ever. Okay, you can't walk around freely without a rifle in your hands. Learn how to use a knife. Learn how to use a ball peen hammer. Okay, here we go. Are you there, brother?
Pablo!
Hey, Pablo! How are things on the border?
I don't know. I'm going to find out later on when I go down with ACM and help them.
Okay, what's up, brother?
I wanted to pass one thing on that you're talking about, especially as to do with the Mormons. a long time ago, back when the church was, you know, growing and stuff, back in both, primarily Nauvoo, because of the number of mob people and that were unhappy with how big this Mormon enclave was growing, that was literally in the swamp area, a lot of times they would have people from the mob kind of like stroll through town and kind of eye like, what's where, and if we came in from where, what would we do, and all that. And I'm not sure whether it's Joseph Smith or one of the other people that kind of started this, but if one of the, whether it's like David Whitmer or whatever, if they saw someone that looked odd, they would nod to one of the kids there, and they had what they called the Whistle and Whittling Club. And so they, whoever the stranger was that wandered in, all of a sudden some kid would come over by him and just stand there, and he'd pull out his pocket knife, and some would have Bowie knives, and they just start whistling and start whittling on a piece of wood. And then two or three other kids would come up and start whistling and whittling on a piece of wood, and all of a sudden the stranger in town had like 12 to 15 kids with
knives.
Big pocket knives whistling and just whittling and whittling and whistling, and everyone knew what that meant. And obviously the guy after a while got kind of uncomfortable that he was sticking out like a neon light.
Decided to either start shaking hands or leave.
And then another thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, because again of the mob type mentality, when they were building the temple in Nauvoo and both Kirtland, they had specific people, and it wasn't necessarily written in church history, but it was written in people's personal diaries.
Oh.
They actually had members that were armed, that were out in the woods, so that if someone tried to come in, they would be both spotted and dealt with before, you know, a mob or whatever could.
Yeah, we've seen such a perversion in our churches where we went from pastors being armed from the pulpits in the 1800s to now they're considered gun-free zones. Isn't it ridiculous?
Yeah, but part of that has to do with, you know, like we've talked about and pastors talked about, with the 501c3 peace, love, and grace type thing, rather than the, you know, full word of God.
Yeah, they can't serve two masters, and they're serving the state. You know, they don't want to have guns in there. Well, what we do is, you know me, I open carry. Everybody, all the other security people, and I'm going to tell you this right now, except for one, conceal carry. And the women, there's several women that conceal carry. I'm usually the first contact because I've got the skills. I've been in law enforcement. I've worked retail. I'll go up and just start talking to the guys, and I let them see the weapon. Then I turn it away from them so they can't get to it. I keep a safe distance. I keep eye contact. I greet them in a brotherly, loving, Christian way. Find out what they're up to. And usually within the first minute, I can tell if this is a major threat or not. But a real dedicated person coming in, they're going to be able to get through that. They're going to learn to control their body language. But I love that idea of the Whistle and Whittling Club, you know, just have every kid whip out a...
It's just simply with the kids that, you know, instead of having an adult come up and, you know, say, what are you doing here? What's your name? Or whatever. Instead, you know, these 8 to 12-year-old, 15-year-old kids with whatever type pocket knife they have and just start whistling and whittling around the guy.
And I can hear a couple people in the audience going,
it was a very creative way to handle the situation.
You know, I'm going to get email from people going, these softies going, oh, but you shouldn't put your kids in that situation. I'm telling you, if you're not training your kid to be a warrior from age 10, you're not paying attention to the Bible. It's like we have I can't really discuss this, but Lou is 14, and let's just say that he has a key position in securing in the event of an attack on the church. He's in a key position. People are like, don't you think that's a bit stressful to put on a 14-year-old? I said, have you been to Central America? Have you looked at what's going on in Africa? Did you see what was going over in Bosnia? 14-year-olds are warriors. How old was David when he took Goliath?
A lot of people may not, you know, say it's Hollywood. I think it's more real to life. If you look at the movie Patriots,
yes,
and Mel Gibson's son, what age they were, and they had guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would go hunting for, you know, whether it was pheasant or, you know, whatever was out there. At the young age that they were, the two young sons went out hunting with their dad.
Yeah.
And they had their own guns.
Yeah.
And if you look at, and I've got one of these tape recorded, if you look at the old Andy and Mayberry, one of the times when Opie is trying to win an electric razor for a Father's Day present for his dad. He goes to the carnival, and he's shooting a Remington pump action 22, and I've got one exactly like Opie had.
Yeah.
And you can see by the smoke coming out and the way it happens, on that set, he was shooting a real 22, and he was probably like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah. It's like, where did this shift come from? I mean,
part of it, Dutch, what you and I both know, is the government fool system. Part of it is what they call the WAVE program. We're against violence
everywhere. Yeah.
You know, and they're teaching the public school kids, not the homeschool kids, but the public school kids to be the future brown shirts.
Right.
And
train,
you know,
snitch.
You know, some of it is like with the WAVE program. You know, we've made our schools safe. There's no guns here.
And what happens?
Can't protect you in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Do you know who in your neighborhood has a gun?
Well,
tell us.
The CDC.
We can help make you safe at home.
Whenever we take the kids to doctors and they start asking them that CDC or Center for Disease Control,
yep.
They start asking, how many guns are in your home? And I'm like, whoa, you stop right there. They asked Lou how many cigarettes he smokes a day. Remember that?
No, but they said if I smoke.
Do you smoke? And then it's like, how many guns are in the home? Are they locked up? So that's none of your business. I can tell you this. The other day at church, my hip was hurting me. I took my .45 off and said, Lou, it's your turn to carry. I got to teach the class and I don't want to be standing up. Here, you take the gun. Nobody flinched, nobody freaked out, nobody, you know, because we're trimming away. The people that were whining last year are now gone, let's put it that way, and good riddance to bad rubbish. People, that they were just like, I can't believe you're going to ask Lou in the event of a takeover of the church to take this position. I said, if you train with Lou, you'll know why I'm picking him. He's the best stinking shot in the church. And I'm not, you know, Lou doesn't need to, you know, plug your ears though, no. But seriously, these people that were complaining were the worst shots in church. And they were like, we should be doing that. We have the training. I said, you're a joke. Lou can outshoot anybody in this church quicker, faster than me. I would love to have Luke up on the hillside with a Mauser and a scope, and I have to approach people because I know he's not going to hit me.
Yeah.
And there's maybe three other people in the church that I would trust with that. And Lou is number one. He's number one.
Has he taken any of the classes like I've taken up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
okay, good.
It's funny, the instructor in the carbine class.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, and okay, I'm going to take some credit for this. I've trained him. I've taught him everything that I thought he needed to know, and then I hand him over to a better instructor than I'll ever be.
Right.
And it was the greatest thing in the world to see them going, wow, you really actually trained him. I'm like, yeah. Because before me, had you ever shot a gun, Lou? Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, because he met me 3 years ago, you never shot a gun. See? I can take anybody and give them the basics, but if they have the innate skill and then a better instructor, and there's something, I don't know, there's something biblical about that, turning your sons over to better instructors. You give them the basics, you know, the safety, how to hold it. But the stuff that's made him a better shooter than I am right now is not because I taught him. It's because I had the trust and the wisdom to hand him over to better instructors, like sending him to, DFT and learning from Rudy.
But also another part of that is God gives different people different talents.
There you go.
Whether it's a doctor for the healing art and how to deal with people, whether it's pastor, how to deal with people with a wounded heart along with other things, but also like Lewis or myself or you or others that are trained to be warriors. You know, not every guy has the wiring to handle what a warrior has to take on.
And you've got to be able to identify that, and I respect that. I respect that more, somebody saying, this is something I can't do, than I do somebody who's doing it even though they know they're doing terrible at it. We have a guy up here, he's been here forever, longer than me. He's been here 10, 15 years. And he finally approached us, because we're pushing him to do more martial training. He says, look, I'm with you guys 100%. I like you guys, I like it, but I could never, ever shoot another human being. But what I will do is if you'll let me train to be a medic, I'll do that. And I said, well, we still want you to carry a weapon because our medics still carry weapons. He's like, okay. He says, but I'm telling you right now, I want to be behind the lines. But we need that. But
well,
he identified...
In a martial situation, you know, you've got your, in essence, what would be your frontline warriors. But in any combat situation, to keep one guy on the front line...
Yeah.
Takes 10 guys behind him,
making sure
ammo gets up there, making sure there's meals, making sure the medic, you know, whatever it is. So not everyone has to be on the front line, but whether it's a medic, whether it's, you know, observation-wise, whether it's manning the radios or command posts or,
sure,
you know, just keeping track logistically of what's coming in and what's going out. There's a lot of stuff that people can do. You know, it's like Mark's talked about at times.
Yeah.
You know, there may be some older men that because of arthritis or just age-wise
mileage,
muscle tone, they physically can't do some of the stuff, but they're still willing to participate in the engagement that's at hand and will intensify as time goes on.
Right. Well, and the key thing we came to in this training this weekend, because I'm trying to get people to think about what they're willing to do for the cause, and I said, you know, be humble. Be realistic.
Yep.
A man's got to know his limitations, like Clint Eastwood said. I think it was Dirty Harry. You've got to know your limitations. I'm very aware of mine, and there may be some that I need to be reminded of, and that's why we have fellowship. If you don't train together and you don't have Christian fellowship, you're not going to have that honesty. Because I've been in militias that were just regular militias, and they don't want to offend each other. You won't see them going, hey, you know, Dutch, I'm sorry, but I don't feel comfortable with you operating that piece of equipment. You had more than enough training to get it right, and you're not doing a good job. Why don't we try something else? I didn't find that in non-Christian militias.
As far as fellowship and some of the training things, some people let their head swell.
Sure.
And they think, you know, I'm the better shot than Annie Oakley. I can, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And sometimes when the rubber meets the road, they ain't what they're bragging up to be.
Well, and like we saw that last month with the individual that we both ended up knowing the history on, and he almost got somebody killed.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're going to bounce around from militia to militia. That's the second reason we should have fellowship. We need to identify these guys. I'm not saying he's worthless to the cause. Don't get me wrong, people. But this guy is dangerous with a weapon. But he may be a logistics genius. He may be a guy who can plug holes in human beings and not freak out. But we're not going to get this if we don't train together and we don't fellowship. We're not going to learn our weaknesses. I'm not a leader. I can train people, but I'm not a leader in the field because not good at people not doing what I say.
Yeah.
So, the music already. Well,
I better hang up, let you close.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much for calling in. We always appreciate it.
You better take care.
See you when we can. Watch your mail. Okay. Well, folks, that's it. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Going out, thank you, Lou. Going out over shortwave, podcast, multiple Patriot web feeds now. We're growing, folks. We're growing because of you. We're growing because of your prayers, your support by telling other people about us. Your financial support is definitely needed, and I don't want to hit that too hard because people say I say that too much, but it's the facts. We need a soundboard. Go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. There's a chip in there. We got $44. We need to send more money over to Liberty Tree Radio. If you want to go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com, libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and just make a donation over there and say it's for Dutch. That's fine too. I'm not using the money to buy beer and pizza. So folks, we got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for listening. And even if I ramble a little bit, the cause is a holy cause. The sword is heavy and the battle is hard. But unless we build on the Lord's word, we build in vain. And we're here for you folks. The church at Cahuilla.org, the church at Cahuilla.org. Check us out. Come visit. We're recruiting. We're looking for sheepdogs. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all.
He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. The power and love of God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. The power and love of God is an awesome God.
We have a jam and spam off.